I'd like to welcome everybody today. If we have any visitors with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. Those of you that are watching and worshiping with us online, we welcome you. Want to say hi to Barbara and Joyce and Sherry Bolden, those that are always here if they can be, and if not, they're watching and worshiping with us online. Dominique sent forward a prayer request, one, thanking everybody for the prayers for Elias this past week with the sickness he was dealing with, and prayers for him starting this evening. The doctors are doing a sleep study to evaluate whether he has sleep apnea or not. And so we'll keep Elias in our prayers. We'll also keep Peggy in our prayers. They are home this morning. Peggy suffered some sort of heat-related, whether the seizure was caused by heat or dehydration or something, but she does not tolerate heat well at all, and she says she's feeling better. Dick also made the announcement last week that he's going to be sending the money to Vallon this Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday, and he asked me last night that if anybody needed to donate anything, give it to me and I'll get it to Dick. And he said he might be here tonight, but anyway, if you wanted to help donate with the work in India with Vallon, just see me and I'll get it to Dick. We're going to look today at the concept, here am I, send me. A lot of times an issue comes up and people scatter like cockroaches. Don't pick me. Don't put it on me. I don't want, not this congregation. But I want to look at the concept, and it was found in the scripture that Raider read this morning. Thank you, Raider, for reading that. In Isaiah 6, verse 8, it reads, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me."
Amen.
This issue is specifically talking about spreading God's word. But in the bigger picture, I want us to look at the idea, and we're going to look at some scriptures that go along with the idea of teaching and spreading God's word, but just the concept, there's work to do. The work here was preaching the word of God, but there's work to do. The attitude, here am I, send me. You know, we can either use our, you know, at the end of our life, we can either be used up or rusted out from lack of use. I would much rather, at the end of my life, be worn out, have everything wrung out of me that there is to use, then just sit around and rust out to nothing. And I want to look at this concept, both sides, the idea of teaching. Isaiah was called to teach and spread God's word, but just the idea of being used for God, using yourself for God. Jonah is probably one of the greatest examples of what not to do. In Jonah 1 through 3, God called Jonah to serve him, to actually, again, spread the word of God. And it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. I want to stop here for just a second. This was going to be a hard thing to do. And I get it. This was not going to be pleasurable. 99% of the time, when I get up on a Sunday morning, I am speaking to friends and brothers and sisters about things that they halfway want to hear. They've come here to worship God. I'm amongst friends. Once in a while, the topic might be one that steps on people's toes. Those are a little more difficult. But Jonah was being sent to a group of people he didn't like, he didn't respect, and he's going to have to tell them how bad they are and try to get them to repent. That's not an easy thing to do. Telling somebody that they've got an ugly baby. That's what Jonah was going to have to do. You people are evil. You're going against God's word, and you need to change. Well, who are you? That's what Jonah was being called upon to do. And we see how he responds. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. As you can see on the map, from where Jonah lived around Joppa to go to Nineveh was kind of a hop, skip, and a jump. Granted, that by today's standards, that's not too far with modern technology and travel, but it was in his neck of the woods. Where does he go? He's going to the other opposite end of the Mediterranean. He's getting, or as he thinks, he's getting away from the presence of the Lord. We've had entire lessons just on Jonah. And that's not what this is. But Jonah is an example. He did not want to do what God had told him to do. In John 1, we see some examples of people doing, sharing the word of God, doing what they needed to do. Here am I, send me. Here am I, use me. Starting in verse 35, it says, again the next day, John, talking about John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. One, John is sharing the word in a casual way. He's talking to two of his disciples, and he sees Jesus at this. They're not in a class setting, but John just casually in conversation, there's the Lamb of God. He's sharing it in a way that's just in a casual way. We can do that. We don't have to share the word of God up here behind the pulpit. There's other ways to do it. John did it. It goes on to say, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." Invited them to come, come along, see where I'm staying. Then they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. It's late in the afternoon. So rather than going back to home, they stayed with where Jesus was. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. We see Andrew sharing the word of God. Not from a pulpit, not like Jesus did going up on a mountainside and talking to the crowds, not in the synagogues. He shared it with his brother. Possibly one of the people he loved the most. He shared what he knew with his brother. We can do that. We don't have to be labeled a preacher or an evangelist, or we share it with our neighbors. We share it with our family members. We share it with the people we run into on a regular basis. The little gas station we get gas and our drinks at, almost every time we leave the house. They know we go to church. They know that I preach. Have I been able to preach a lesson to them? Not really. But I've opened the door. Just sharing it with them. In Matthew 28, we call it the Great Commission. Jesus, after he had risen from the dead, before he ascended into heaven, gave his followers kind of one last command. And in Matthew 28, starting in verse 19, he's telling his apostles, he says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He left it open. He did not give them an itemized list of exactly how to go about it. You need to go and preach to other people. You need to teach them. It was brought up in class today. I think it was Preston Williams that brought it up. We need to teach them where they are at the time.
Amen.
A generic message will hit some, but not all. It's not so much a shotgun approach. Some people might need to start with, "Do you even believe in God? Do you believe in the Bible as God's word?" And then move on from there. You're not going to start there with somebody that's five steps ahead. But he tells them, go and make disciples. Tells them, you know, teach them everything that you've learned. It's not going to be done overnight. Here am I, send me. This is a situation where they needed to go and do. But we can go and do where we're at. It doesn't necessarily mean that we need to go to other far-off lands. If everybody scattered and went, who would mind the store at home? Who would teach your own family? And all those questions. In Acts 10, we see a really good example of attitude with Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion. He was a Gentile. And he had had a vision. In fact, he had a vision and Peter was given a vision that brings them together. Peter wouldn't have gone on his own to a Gentile. But it took some convincing from God for Peter to go. And it's in verse 24, it says, and the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Cornelius is wanting to share what Peter had to say before he even said it. He knows something big. He's wanting his dear friends and relatives to be able to experience this too. Mm-hmm. All he did was gather them together. Here am I, send me. Here am I, use me. I'm going to get my friends and relatives together to be able to hear what this man, Peter, who I've sent for, was going to tell me. I want you to hear it too. Starting in 27, it says, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Jews and Gentiles were supposed to keep separate. That's why Peter had kind of been scratching his head when he got the vision, go to this Cornelius guy. Never go to this Cornelius guy. Okay, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? Peter has a good attitude. Peter has the attitude, here am I, send me. He was told to go to Cornelius. Cornelius is a good example. I'm going to hear from this man of God, Peter. I want as many of my friends and relatives to hear him just like I'm going to hear. So he brought them together. And, he'll tell him why he had been called for. And in verse 33, after he explains this, he says, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Cornelius is a centurion. He's a man of authority. He understands the idea, if you're given a command, you obey it. You know what, Mr. Peter? You've done well. You were told by the Spirit to come here, and you obeyed it. Cornelius sees that Peter did well. Cornelius understands the idea of obedience. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear the things commanded you by God. Cornelius was sharing the word of God before it was even shared with him. Mm-hmm. That's the attitude. I stand here before you right now like this. I wasn't raised in the church. I'm not a product of somebody coming to the door wanting to do a Bible study with me. In school, and kids, listen up. In school, a friend invited me to go to church with him. It is a little bit more complicated than that. He invited me to spend the night on Saturday night and said, we're going to church in the morning. We can either drop you off or you can come with us. I'll go. That was the first step of me being able to be here today. I was invited by a schoolmate. Don't think you have to be a preacher to have influence. Cornelius invited his friends and his relatives to hear the word of God. And after Peter taught them, Peter asked the question, verse 47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. What a great end to a story. And they lived happily ever after. You know, we see the attitudes. What if Peter would have pulled a Jonah? Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to the Gentiles. Not me. Get somebody else. I'm not sharing the word of God with no Gentile. What if Cornelius just ignored the vision of sending for Peter? He has nothing. I'm a Roman centurion. He has nothing to say that I am interested in. It wouldn't have ended this same way. In Acts 16, Paul, we call it the Macedonian call, where Paul in a vision was called, very similar to Isaiah, go and teach these people. And it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia. Macedonia was a region in northern Greece. It was northern Greece. Like in our country, we've got sections of the country like New England or the Midwest or, you know, things like that, the Deep South. In Greece, you had Macedonia in the north part of Greece, and Achaia in the southern part. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Paul didn't hem and haw about it. Immediately he planned to go, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. He was being called to preach to somebody. It wasn't on his things to do on a Tuesday to go to Macedonia. But he immediately, because the Lord had told him to, he's going to obey it and go. And you look at the results of him answering this Macedonian call. he leaves what is called Asia and goes into what we would call Europe today. He goes up into Macedonia. There he will teach and baptize Lydia and her family at Philippi. He will teach the, he'll get arrested. It's not all cupcakes and unicorns. He gets arrested, put in jail in Philippi, winds up teaching the jailer and his family and converting them. And as he continues on his journey, he not only stays in Macedonia, but goes down into southern Greece. He will establish congregations in Philippi and Thessalonica, in Corinth and Athens and Ephesus that will be so prominent later on in his travels. And he will return there and write letters to them, all because he was called to go and he went. Here am I, send me. We don't have to necessarily go someplace to answer that call. Here am I, use me.
Amen.
Share, let me share what I know with others. And every one of us can do that. Kids, you can do that at school. Just sharing, inviting your friends to come to church with you. That's all you got to do. Other people will take over after that. There's the lesson. You've got the outline. If you want to look over some of the scriptures later this week, maybe in your daily devotionals or whatever. Couple of things that stood out to me about this. It was the attitude of not only doing the idea of mission work and teaching, but just the idea of using ourselves for God and not shying away from it. Let's not be a Jonah. We always set this time aside at the end of a lesson. We call it the invitation, where we invite people if they need help, if they need to be baptized, if they need prayers of the congregation, if they have sin in their life, to encourage them, give them a jab in the ribs or step on their toes, get rid of the sin, repent. Don't let another minute go past without repenting. Whatever your need, I don't think we've got any visitors that I'm aware of, but if you're looking for a church home and you'd like to identify with us here at South Valley to work and worship with us, you know, let that be known. Whatever your need, please come forward while Frank leads us in the invitation,